What does it say? Begin to read. Verse 17. Not verse 5, but verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Now read. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? How did you get into Christ? See? You get in by faith. By the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are buried with him in baptism. And we raised up to walk with him in newness of life. So if any man be in Christ, what happened? There's a change. You're not the same person. Yes, you have the same body outward, but there's a new man born inside of you. There's a birth. You must be born again from above. Okay? Because he that is born is of the flesh is flesh. And many times we get mixed up the birth of the flesh with the birth of the spirit. They're two different birth and two different worlds. Okay? The flesh and the spirit don't agree. The flesh lusteth after the spirit. And the spirit lusteth after the flesh. And they're contrary. See, they're contrary. And we need to look at the scriptures again. Because it goes on and it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What does that mean, creature? Creation. Brand new creature. Brand new creation. And you get in Christ by through his death. That's how we get into Christ. By the death of Christ, the Holy Spirit puts us in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you are a new creature. You need to let that get in your mind. Because it's hard to penetrate. And the flesh don't want to hear. You'll be sitting here, but your body is here, but your mind is somewhere else. And you'd rather be there than here. You'd rather be out there in fantasy world. What you're going to do next weekend. A Thanksgiving is coming up. And what am I going to cook? You understand? And all service, you'll be thinking something else. And you're here, but you're not here. Because you cannot endure the word of God. So now you're going to have to let Christ enter into you. Amen. And be born again. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You must be born again from above. How can this be? Can I enter Nicodemus said into my mother's womb and be born? No, not so. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. There's a flesh birth. But there's also a spirit birth. To get into the kingdom of God, there is a spirit birth. But he that is born of the spirit is spirit. And God is spirit. And God seeks spirit worshiper. So to be in the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Not of flesh, not of the will of man, and not of blood, but by the spirit of God. By the word of God. By the, I think Peter said, by the incorruptible word or incorruptible seed of God. You have to be born of the word of God. That's a new birth. You have a mom and dad and you have a birth. But now you need another birth. You need a God's birth. Okay? You have to be born of the Spirit. And if you're not born, you cannot be in the kingdom of God. And there's a wrestling going on. When the Spirit is dealing with you, the flesh begins to war and says, no, not so. Not so. And put up a resistance. And unless you have teaching, that flesh will overcome. Okay, and you will go, you will quench the spirit, and you will not respond. And something will say, you're smarter. I got more smarter. But it doesn't take, like we were saying this morning, it doesn't take natural wisdom or education. It takes a humble heart that submit to the Lord by faith. So that person in Christ is a new creature. All the things, that's the old you, Adamic nature, the nature you were born with. Okay, old things all passed away. Just like how the heavens and the earth is going to be passing away. But right now, we are ahead of that. And the things that we were born in the nature has to be changed. Old things are passed away. And old things are passed away. Behold, look at this. All things are become new. Now, all things, that means right now, God, just like how he's going to make a new heaven at the end of the millennium, but right now what he's doing, he's making a new you.
Amen.
And the new you that he's making is not improving upon your flesh life, where you're able to speak more effectively, naturally. You can do a better presentation at the meeting. You know, they have courses, and there's nothing wrong with it. You're taking a course, as long as you don't expect that it's going to give you, bring you closer to God. Because it takes the Spirit to draw you.
Amen.
Only way to get to God is through the Spirit. If he doesn't touch you, if the Holy Spirit does not touch your heart, you cannot get close to God. Draw me. And then when he draw you, we will run after you. No man can come unto me, Jesus says, unless he is drawn by the Father. And when you feel that Holy Spirit touching you, it means that God is drawing you to himself. See, God draws you to himself. God draws you to Christ. No man can come to me except he's drawn by the Father. The Father presents you to Christ. But the Holy Spirit draws you. He draws you through the Holy Spirit. So this person is a new creature. Awesome. Old things. So there's a new you. Old things are passed away. And if you don't know the word of God, you won't believe that. Because the devil is going to come back and say, you're not changing. Look at you. And you make a mistake and the devil says, it's finished for you. You're over. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't make that mistake. But you've got to understand now that we are growing in grace. And in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you've got to understand that a baby does fall. But what does a mother or father do? Reach out and pick that child up.
Amen.
And that's what a church is.
Amen.
That picks you up and presents you back to Christ.
Amen.
And help you. But you've got to be willing to let the word of God works in your life.
Yes.
So you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things. What you came into this world with has to go. You have to be born again. Old things are passed away. And behold, I make. Behold, all things are become new. Who does it? It's God. How does he do it? By the renewing of our mind through the Holy Spirit. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. He saves us by, there's a washing. There's a washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Ghost. So he has to wash you and renew you by through the blood applied. The Holy Spirit applies the eternal spirit applies the blood.
Yes.
See, from the time that Jesus shed the blood, it is still fresh, effective. 2,000 years ago, that blood, that old rugged cross, makes a difference in your life.
Yes.
As Sister Anita and Angie were saying about the cross, about the blood, that blood-stained cross that shed his blood upon the earth. You become a new creature. That's it. So, but I look at myself. Yes, it doesn't change the scars that you have or the wounds and the bruises, but it's the inner, in the heart. It's a hidden man in the heart. Something is born. Your heart, God lives inside of your heart. That's the temple right there where God dwells. Okay? The heart of a man. God writes his law in your mind, in your heart. So he becomes a new creature. Verse 18 says that, and all things are of God. No, all things are of God. The work that's going on in your life right now is of God. You've got to understand that just coming to an altar did not complete you. It's a continuous work that you have to hear the word of God. You have to sit with your Bible like you're sitting right now, open your scripture, but someone has to be able to explain it to you. You've got to have a teacher. How can they hear unless there's a teacher? Someone has to break it down like we're taking verse by verse and going chapter, verses, here a little and there a little, and begin to explain the word of God until your eyes become open. And this is not a work that's done in one night or one day. That's why I was saying this morning that we break the word of God down and you don't chew all of it at one time. And then you are focused. See, you're focused, not just scattered thoughts, but you have to be focused. Like now, we begin to focus on substance, secrets, mysteries. That God, the secret things belong to the Lord. Okay, but what would that mean to me unless it's broken down? The secret things belongs to the Lord. But those things which are revealed belongs to us. So here, back to verse 18, all things are of God, who at reconcile us. Not going to do it, but he has done that. Reconcile us to himself. To? To himself. How did he do it? By Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. By Jesus Christ. By the blood. And had given to us. Here, he did it. But now look what he done. He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What am I doing tonight? I beseech you in Christ's stead. Paul said, just like as if Jesus was doing it, he's doing it in the name of Jesus. Amen. He's doing the work that Christ begun. I beseech you, by Christ Jesus, be ye reconciled. That's what we're doing tonight. Yeah. Okay? You live here 2017. If you were living 100 years ago, somebody else, another minister would be doing the job in your life. But you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And then when you come, here I am. Amen. In your life. Amen. What am I doing? Beseeching you just like Paul did. In Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. Okay? That's what we're doing. Verse 19 says, to wit. That's powerful. That word, to wit. What does that mean? That is. To wit. You ever seen somebody writing or a document or official document? You probably see a statement like that, to wit. Have you ever seen? Help me. To wit. That God was in Christ. To wit. This is official. The reconciliation, to wit, these are legal terms, to wit that God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not imputing. These are tremendous terms. These are where, in other words, God's saying, I'm not charging you, though you're guilty. But I'm setting you free. God is saying that I'm not imputing it to you. In other words, if it's not imputed, although you did it, God says, I'm going to make it as if you've never done it. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says, not imputing. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. But the man, if God imputes sin to you, you're in trouble. You cannot get away. Because only God can forgive you of that sin. But here's what he did. Not imputing. I'm trying to let you get these terms. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. If you ever could get this, and when the church get this, you'll be running out of here shouting. Because thank God I'm free.
Amen.
Whom the Son of God have set free, he is free indeed. Not imputing. Look at all the bad stuff we've done. And yet, when you come to the cross and accept Jesus, renewed by the Spirit of God, the washing of the water by the word, God said, I'm not charging you. I'm not imputing it. In other words, it says, not only are you not guilty, because if the judge say, or if he pardons you, it doesn't mean that you're not guilty. But what God does, God, when he imputes, not imputing it, is as if you've never done it. My Lord. You're innocent of the charges. So Romans says, Romans 8 says, that who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who? It's God that justifies. So that's where he justifies you. Justification means just as if you've never sinned. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've got something here tonight.
Yeah.
Preachers of the word of God that knows the word and love God, when they stand before their congregation, what are they doing? See, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That means you can reach out there, your words go out of your mouth, can go to the vilest, low down sinner man and bring him up to God. Reconciling him to God. Verse 20. Now then, listen, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador does. If he goes into another country, he's there representing the USA. So he can grant a visa. Amen. He can deny it or he can grant it, a visa to enter into the United States. And when he does that, it's accepted.
Amen.
Just as if the president did it. Just as if Congress did it. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That means the word of reconciliation that we have can open the door of the kingdom. Keys to the kingdom can open the doors of the kingdom to anybody that respond to it. Because we are ambassadors from God to this world, that we can minister the entrance. For so an abundance of entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of God. Who does it? The ministry. Okay, yes, that little man, that a woman that you're looking on down and you're smarter than they are, but they have something you don't have. They've got the keys to the kingdom. They can open up the doors to the kingdom because they are ambassadors. My. Ambassadors sent from God to this world. And says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. Not just for the USA. But this is greater. Not just giving an entrance into the USA, which is also very good, but this is into the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of God.
Praise
my.
Praise God.
as though God did beseech you by us. Just as if it was God himself. You're not getting it. Just as if it was an even higher than the president himself. When that ambassador stamp your documents approve, go on to the USA. You're coming through. And when you get to the borders, when they look at it. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled. So when someone coming you, he's as if Jesus was doing, said, we pray you in Christ's stead. That means I'm only here, I'm representing Christ. But then you look at him and say, oh, just a man. I don't have to listen to what he's saying. I go over there and listen to somebody else. You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. You say, well, the ambassador to Nairobi, Kenya, is just as effective as the one to London, England. Amen. Amen. Or the smallest country. The smallest church. The smallest pastor. That man with 10,000 has no more authority than the man with 100 or 20 or 5 or 1. You know why? Because where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there. You have access into the kingdom of God. I pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled to God. For he had made him, watch this. For he had made him to be sin for us. Pause. Who knew no sin. Why? Because he's working on something. You remember, I touched this morning that we were curiously wrought. Oh, I need that right there too. But in Psalms 139, say that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Notice, He had made Him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin. Do you see that work that was done? He had to become sin for us. Who knew no sin. We who were sinners. Who knew no righteousness. But now. It's him. Because God transfers all of your sins to Christ. In other words. Transfer or imputed sin. Your sin and mine. Was imputed to Christ, and his righteousness is imputed to you. In other words, exchange. And Christ became the guilty one, while you and I become the one that was set free. If the Son of God has set you free, then you are free indeed. He sets us free, but he could not set himself free. Because he had to pay the price. Because so God made him to be sin for us. This is beautiful. Who knew no sin? And we who knew sin, he did not impute it to us. But he sets us free. What a God. Made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In him. So, God made him to be sin for us, but what did he do with the sin? Because when you were created first in Adam, you died. In Adam all died. The first creation was not a completed creation. Imperfect. We died. Because in the first place, we were born in sin. To be born in the first Adam means you're born in sin. We were already born lost, dead, and we needed to be reconciled. Amen. From the first Adam. But we could not do it by ourselves. Nobody could do it. There's a scripture that says, no one could redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. When you leave this side right here, right now, when you leave here, and you haven't repented, and you haven't made it right, and you haven't asked God, there's no way, no way you can get out of the condition that you were in. Oh, you say, but you can. What you're saying is that Jesus is not the way. You're saying that there's another way. Without accepting or admitting it, you're being lied to that there's another way. There's no other way. Amen. You deceive yourself. You ain't going nowhere. If the rich man in hell could not get out. And he said, I've got 5 brothers back there. Can you go tell them? I said, no, they got the church. They got to find a way to church. They got Moses and the prophets. Said that, let them hear. There is no other way. What you're saying is, yes, there's another way. No, there's no other way. There is no other way. That's not true. There is no other way but through the cross. I am the way. My, you're not listening. There is no other way but through Jesus. When you're dead in trespasses and sins. You are in trouble. Nobody can get you out. Otherwise, you're saying that Jesus didn't have to die because we could find a way around him. Oh my God, you can't get out. We don't even know what death is. You don't even know. When I have time, Job asked the question, only Job could express, have you ever seen the face of death? You don't know what death is. You don't know what death is. When he says, go tell my brothers, don't come here. How come he didn't get out? He wanted out. He even wanted a drop of water on his lips and he could not get it. He said, but hold on. I wasn't the one telling the parable or that story. It was Jesus. God telling us that. And they were told to let them hear Moses. And the prophets. You got to do it right here. Moses and the prophet. When you lost, you die without Christ. There's no change. There's no change where a tree falls. It lies there. It doesn't change. All right. You don't have the power. There's no one, it says, that can redeem his brother. There's a scripture. Read that for me. No one can redeem his brother or give to God a ransom. You have, because we don't read the Bible. That's why we say these things. What does it say? Look at that. Psalms 40. You have a Bible? Do you read it? Look in it. That's not my words. And we get in trouble because we don't read the Bible. We just follow what some people say. No one. Here, Psalms 49 verse 7 said. None of them can by any means. Does that any means mean any means? It means no way. There's no way, no means, no charms, no prayer, no fasting. When it's over, it's over. No one said, read it now, says that none of them can by any means. My Lord. There's can tell me one mean. It means no way. Redeem his brother. Nor give to God a ransom for him. What? Your prayer, your fasting, your crying, your tears. No, it's over. There's no acceptance of price. It's it. You didn't know that was in the Bible? Huh? You didn't know that was in the Bible? So when you think that, or if you believe that after death, they can be transferred. That's not true. No. I can tell you what the Bible says. None of them. What can you give to God? You can give. Oh, I just give God something and pay for my sins. You can't. You cannot pay for your sins, and you cannot pay for the sins of nobody. The only price is the blood right now. Somebody shout, say amen. Somebody say amen right now. Right now. Give the Lord a praise right now. Hallelujah. You've got to tell people the truth, otherwise you're lying to them. What? Look at that. Here's what I say. Redeem his brother. Why would he lie to your brothers? Tell him the truth right now. Say, brother, you're believing something that's not right. Tell them the truth. Tell them there is no redemption beyond the grave. When you die, where you fall, that's it. That's why you need a church right now. That's why the provision is made in the church right now. Because there's no provision when you fall asleep. It says the dead in Christ shall rise first, not out of Christ. So that's why we get in Christ. Oh, I feel good right now. Even my bones coming alive right now. You know, I mean, watch me. My bones, I couldn't do that this morning. You know, Humpty Dumpty. But look at me right now. When I said that, I felt so good. I'm not worrying if you come back tonight. But right now, I got a break. When I said that, I felt a break. Nobody can redeem his brother. Do you want me to lie to you and give you a false hope and let you live in sin and be enjoying sin? And then what happened? Then we, pastor, never tell the truth. Then your blood be upon my shoulder. But Paul says, I'm free from the blood of all men. That means I'm telling you the truth. Because I've not shunned to declare unto you the old counsel of God. None can redeem his brother. Amen. Amen. It's over. Amen. Nobody can. Mama, don't trust in that false hope. You better accept Jesus Christ right now. Amen. Get down on your knees. Accept the blood of, if you love your family, if you love your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, and they're trusting in a lie, go into their face and say that's a lie. Give them the scripture. Jesus is the only way. Don't let nobody fool you and tell you some nonsense that they've never been there. I know they're going to tell you. Have you ever been dead? They know you're going to tell me what's going on and you've never been dead. But I know a man that died. His name is... Oh, ha, ha, ha. His name is Jesus. I said, I know a man that died. His name is Jesus. And he's telling you, whose word are you going to believe? A word of a man, an organization, or the word of the Son of God? Come on. So you need to tell your brothers and your sisters, you better wake up. And you think you're going to have a good time and live up the good old ways here. And when you die, Grandpa is going to get you over and transfer you over by loaning. That's foolish talk. And millions of people believe in that ignorance. Nobody can. How did I get on that? None of them can by any means. I don't care how many beads they count, upside down, backwards, frontward. I don't care if they chew the beads. Come on. Don't swallow it. But even if you, I don't care what you do with it. There's no redemption in that.
Hallelujah.
If Brother James never accepted Christ like you were saying, and a change come in his life now, Linda, go ahead and cry. But because of that, yes, you can weep, but you don't sorrow as others do, because you have a hope. I was not there, but I heard that he left this earth singing. And he left this earth saying, I'm ready. And he left this earth says, this is a new beginning. Start over. What did that? Not when he get there, not when he breathed, but before he breathed his last breath, Jesus was on his lips. Glory to God. Don't wait. Don't let the devil deceive you. There's no coming back. You want to see your brothers and your sisters and all that in glory with you? Tell them right now. They might not listen, but their blood won't be on your shoulder. Don't let them believe a lie. And you sit there and let them believe that they're secure. I've got relatives that believe that they're okay. I know it's hard to change them. But you sow a seed in their heart because you never know who is going to hear and say, yes, that's right. I believe that word. Nobody can by any means redeem his brother. Or give to God a ransom. And God say, yes, I needed that. Open the prison door of hell and let them out. The price, they said, I accept that. It's enough sacrifice. No. He already accepted a sacrifice by one sacrifice. One offering. That's the blood of Jesus. He perfected forever them that are sanctified. So let's not ignore the sacrifice, the work, the price now, and wait for something else later. Do not be deceived. You don't know who God is. Oh, God is so merciful. He's going. No, no, no. No. That hell-bound person, like all of us, need to repent. We're all hell-bound. Until we met this man, Jesus. The sacrifice was the blood of Christ. That's all that God accept. Nor said, for. Look at it. Look at how God feels about it. For the redemption of their soul is precious. God wants them to be redeemed. God paid the price for them. But now they have to accept it. And it sees it forever. See, the redemption of their soul is precious. So you got to get it in right now. Because if not, it sees forever. Once it's over, once that redemption is gone, once you breathe your last breath, the only time you have is now, is the day of salvation. There's no salvation beyond the grave if you go there lost. You got to do it right now in the church. That the grave does not produce salvation. It's the church. Amen. My. Amen. It's through the church. The devil cannot prevail against the church upon this rock. Will I build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is where you get deliverance, right in the church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But in the grave, he has power there. Amen. So that's why Christ came to destroy him that has the power of death. That is the devil. So right now, that blood destroys it. The blood of Jesus gives you life. There's life. There's no life. I mean, come on. Get real. I got a whole bunch of unsaved people. Right? And if I'm unsaved and they're unsaved, and when I die, they're going to get me out of hell. I mean, come on, get real. Get real. That's not the way it works. And you got to preach the Bible like it is. You have to repent right now, today, before you leave this earth. Don't go stick and say, well, I'll get out. No. Everybody, when you hear the word of God, and don't get mad at the Bible. Well, you want the Bible to lie? If the Bible lied, it could not be the book of God. It says that nobody can redeem his brother. Well, that's simple. I'll give to God a ransom, because God already have a ransom. And that's Jesus Christ. That he should still live forever. What he says. Verse 8. Go back to verse 8. Let me get it. See, for the redemption of their soul is precious. What? Read it. And it sees it forever. Verse 8. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. See, without Christ, you're gone. Christ never saw corruption. And your soul and mine will never see corruption. No. Because we see life. It's that's a powerful thing right there, because this corruptible must put on incorruption. That's why you don't see corruption. That's why you're not seized forever, because of immortality is given to the soul. Incorruption is given to the body. You get a new body. But immortality is given to the soul. You have the body and the soul. That's why we get mixed up. We don't know the difference. And we won't stop to, I already know it. That's not what we'll take shortcuts. That's not what he said. But that's what he says. Paul knew what he was talking about. And the word of God, through Paul, is very hard to be understood. It's mystery. Acts 2:27 says, all right, that was speaking about Jesus. But remember, we follow him. Mm-hmm. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. So he rose the third day. Yeah. Okay? And our bodies go. His body came out of the grave. Mm-hmm. But ours doesn't come out. Amen. Because it's corruption. It goes back to the dust. Yeah. Dust you are, you goes back. To the dust. It's not the body, but it's the spirit. Amen. And we focus on the body, but the body is corruptible. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 All right, let me go on into something else right there. Because you've got to understand now, the Bible, and is there any more left right there? See, it shall still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men died. All right, wise men die. Smart, wise, educated men die. But what else goes on? The fool also die. Here it is. Likewise, the fool. So what's the difference with a wise man and a fool? An educated person. Oh, I'm so educated, I know more. You're going to die. And the man that never done no learning, never been done no schooling, he's going to die. So what's the difference? This powerful. For he said that wise men died. I've seen them all the time. Likewise the fool. And the brutish person perish. And leave their wealth to others. But you can't even take it with you. Huh? You cannot take your wealth with you. Do you get that? And I'm not much for story, but I heard about this man wanted some money. Told his wife, "Make sure you leave me some money when I die. Put some money in his coffin." So when he died, the wife wrote him a check. She put a check in there. No, notice, where am I now? Verse 10. Go to verse 10. Says, quickly. For we see that wise men die, and likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. That means your money can't pray you out. Doesn't matter how much money you have, whether you're wise, brutish, or you're gone. The only hope for everybody is Jesus. Yes. Verse. Look at that. Their inward thoughts is. Here's what they think without a lesson, without a learning. They're still here. That their houses shall continue forever. That's what I got mom and dad, my family, my house, and their dwelling place. To all generation. That man, when he dies and he leaves a house or a car or whatever he does, money for someone else. Okay, say his family, and that's good. But if you go back 50 years, that house, I could say less, that house is gone. How many of the owners have that house? You know that there were people that owned this church before us. Where are they? Some who built it, we don't even know them. They're gone. But when they were building it, no doubt that they thought that that was theirs forever. Well, this is my house. This is my car. Everything is temporary. Everything you got is only for your beautiful house. A few years from now, somebody else will have it. That's why we need a house, a building. Not made by hand. That's we made something that's eternal in the heaven. Their inward thoughts is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generation. They call their lands after their own names. You know that's true. They call it after their business, their land, whatever. Even men name their ministries. Harold Wedderburn's ministries. That's not my ministry. It ought to be Christ. There's no church name after me. Nevertheless, man being in honor, even the president, what? He's in honor. But that's only 4 years or 8 years the most. Do you get that? And even the office of the presidency, he's not much honor because every day he's got more people talk about him than. It doesn't matter who gets in there, male or female. There's always something gossip and talk, an opposing party. It doesn't matter what you do. On your job, in church, I mean, come on. Nevertheless, man being in honor, abide it not. Have you ever seen, look at all these famous singers. You know these things, right? You know these things, right? But where are they? Remember? You remember? Where is it? Where is good golly? Where is it? Where is Saturday night and I got my... Or I just got paid. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Oh, that's the spirit. I'm explaining. That's before your little time. Do you understand? But some of you know what I'm talking about. But where is it? Huh? But the only hope. And you see some of those songs we're playing, and they're begging you to buy it, but it's gone. The singers are gone. But guess what? Guess what? The song of David still is around, isn't it? That's what we're talking about tonight. Nevertheless, man being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This, their way, is their folly. Their way. Because they never sought the way of God. They try to work it out. Oh, I can do it. I don't have to accept Christ now. 5 minutes before I die. Oh, I got time. Oh, let them go ahead. I'm going to have some fun right now. And then when but before I die, but right now I'm young. Let them have fun. Leave them alone. Don't tell them very much about God. They're young. But if that soul died, because there's no age group to death, and you know that you never told your son or daughter about God. They never heard it from your lips. They might not accept it, but they know what you stand for. They know that you believe in Jesus Christ. And he's changing you. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their saying. And that's it, Selah. Oh, like sheep, this powerful scripture. Look what? Hear it. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed upon them. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning of the resurrection, the establishment of the kingdom. And their beauty, that means the beauty, that's the glory you had right now. You feel you're above the church. The church need you. You're doing well. If I don't stand with the church, it will never stand. You know those thoughts? Your beauty. Oh, look at my house. Look at my car. Look at my job. Look at my bank account. The beauty. What do you think is going to happen to it? When you laid as a sheep in the grave, it's perished. You will have a cobweb take it over. When you wouldn't let a dust, even you're fussy about a dust on the floor. But what happened? It's gone. And you were more concerned about beauty. Doesn't mean that you don't keep place clean. But you're more concerned about beautifying that house than the real house. The house that you're going to live in. Sending up treasures, laying treasures in heaven. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. Death, dust thou art, to dust you return. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume where? In the grave. You're not going back home from their dwelling. You get that? What death is? Eh? So it pays to serve the Lord. And these are real. But we don't believe it. No, I'm going to live forever. You're not going to live forever. But God. Remember now, they're gone. They're gone. But look out, James. Because you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Look out, brother. You can sing while you're leaving this world. Look out. We sorrow not as others do, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me. Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich. Don't ever win all that money. Don't worry. Don't get jealous. Get that big contract. Rejoice with them. When the glory of his house is increased. Boy, you pass there and look at you living in a little shack. Look at it. You can't even paint it. But their house is so nice. And you come by and there's not even a flower. Let's make a garden. Because the folks that I have in my church, most of them, they don't like to garden. They got not long nails. The sisters and the brothers don't have no nails. So they don't even like to garden. You walk around and you see cobwebs sometimes. Please stop me if I'm wrong. Everything thrown down and everything not put away. Unless if you ask, they might do it. But they'll pout. Ask somebody else. But when the pastor walk through in the back and coming in, everything should be all nice. Oh, that my pastor passing here. I bet if the president was going to come, you all get busy. But it's just the pastor. And you should make sure it's nice and looking good. Oh, no. You're above that. Verse 16. Go to 16. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich. Be calm, be cool. When the glory of his house is increased. They got better furniture. They painted up looking all nice. For when he dieth, there, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Nothing goes down there. If he gets a check, he can't spend it. You see that brother or that sister not worrying what kind of suit you put on them. You see, got to dress. Go ahead and dress them up. But where are they going? Put a shoes on. Where are they going? Put gloves on. Put them in there. That's right. If I passed away, I want you to put me in my favorite suit. I want to look good when I... But I won't know. Because you're gone. But now there's a better man, a new man, that needs to be dressed up tonight. Yeah. Right now. Inside, a new man. For when he died, he shall carry. I still feel good. So suddenly, woe is me tonight, though. But right now, I feel good. You know, I felt good. Look at me, Ronnie. Not bad, eh? Not bad, right? Give me a high five, boy. Woo! Ha ha! My God. For when he died, he shall carry nothing away. That's why you need to put in offering and tithe. Okay, you ain't going to carry nothing with you. Somebody else going to get it. Give it to Jesus. Lay up treasure in heaven. You hold back and put a dollar in. You stingy little Christian. How could you put a dollar in the offering? Even your offering lies. Give a dollar. And you hide it, you know, nobody knows. God print a dollar face. You look like a dollar bill. Come on. Give liberal. Bless the Lord. Just drop a. For when he died, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. No. You know what? Even your money said, I'm not coming. It's amazing. Your clothes, all the clothes you have said, no, I don't want to go down. Send the tuxedo. Not even your suit is volunteering. You know that? Damn, I'm not going down. Nothing is coming down. Your children love and cry, but they ain't going down with you. Bye.
That's right.
While he liveth, he blesseth his soul. And men will spare thee, praise thee. And when thou doest well to thyself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. See, do you see where you go? The generation of his father, they shall never see light. That's bad. What I say? Nobody can get you out. If you go down in a generation where your fathers are gone, you go stay with them, you ain't going to leave. Somebody say, oh no, you leave and go over. Who's your father? The generation of your father. You better make sure that God is your father now, our father.
Amen.
So when you die, you go to the generation of your father, Father Abraham.
Yes.
See, Abraham was Lazarus' father before he died. Tonight, Abraham is your father, the father of many generations.
Yes.
Abraham, and we're going to the generation, to the paradise, Abraham's bosom. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. No, there's no light beyond the grave. You better get the light now, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That's revealed in the face of Jesus right now. He shall go. Next verse says, man that is in honor and understandeth not the things of God is like the beast that pray. Doesn't matter how much you're smart or brilliant. That's a problem with society. They're so smart. They think they know everything. But they don't know what they should know because they're still in darkness. As we progress in these messages, you find out that without a knowledge of the word of God, you're in darkness. And you need the wisdom of God. Wisdom is a knowledge. You see, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Ooh. Boy, I'm smart, didn't I? I said a whole lot there. Wisdom. I'm getting out of here. I came up with something that was big. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge.
Amen.
Woo. So you know what wisdom is? This is the ability to apply knowledge. Because some people can have knowledge, but they have no wisdom to apply. Man that is in honor and understand it not is like the beast that perish. Where am I? I said that before. 21. And that's it. What a scripture. What a chapter. You know, I wasn't even thinking about this chapter. I was going back to 139. Isn't God amazing? But we're going back there, but we go around. That's why I said, I got a lot of time. I don't say...